Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Want to get rich in real estate? We're here for you.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, bada-bing.
Yeah, that's our famous catchphrase on Jordan, Jesse Go, the world's most popular real estate podcast.
Today on the show, we're going to talk house flipping with Vanilla Ice, who apparently does that, or did that at one point.
I've just been handed a note, Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Now, the format of our show has been central to its success.
Of course.
It's something that people actually want to learn about. It can have a direct impact on their lives.
Helpful, useful.
It's not just a bunch of miscellaneous bullshit.
No, that would be a waste of everyone's time.
However, I've been handed a note that says Vanilla Ice is not going to be coming here today. Apparently, he's going to be performing Ice Ice Baby at a plumbing convention in Las Vegas. They've offered him $15,000. We had only planned to pay him $11,000.
Yeah.
So,
to perform ninja rap on this show.
Well, he's got a whole rate sheet that goes all the way down to, for $500, he'll do the crisscross song, I Missed the Bus. But here's my thinking.
I mean, for my money, that's the definitive version of I Missed the Bus.
It is. I mean, it's one of those situations where a cover really transforms.
Yeah. It's a kind of a, it's his Nothing Compares to You, I think.
Yeah. Like, it's like, it is that the context is so dramatically transformed, I think. I think it is that, you know, in a lot of times...
Jesse, do you think we should probably save this for Under the Covers, our show about transformative cover songs?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, next week, I think
we just have so many shows with content, you know. I don't want to get it mixed up.
Right. But here's my thing.
Okay.
My friend Matt is visiting from England, and he is not in the real estate business.
Right.
He's a cabaret performer. And so what I'm thinking is maybe this week we'll break format. We'll just chat with Matt and see how it goes. And this will be like a week off from getting rich for our audience. And then they'll get right back on the money train
next week.
If
they're regular listeners, they're already rich.
Right. That's true. I mean, if they're thinking, they're probably growing rich.
Of course.
Who moved my cheese?
Right.
In conclusion.
Property Brothers. I don't know.
You got it. You know exactly what we're talking about. Let's introduce our guest on this week.
Fences? Anyway.
Yeah. Let's introduce our guest on this. What if key to flipping a house was turning the fence upside down?
Right.
Like, why are the posts sticking up in the air? Okay. Our guest on this week's program is a talented variety performer. I don't know. What do you call it? What do you want to call it, Jordan? I'm not willing to ask him.
I'm going to say it's a talented amazo.
Yeah, he's an amazo.
He amazes you.
He performs amazing feats.
Not only feats, but also you're amazed at how humorous and charming he is, too.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm laughing. I'm amazed. Look at this amazo.
Can I tell you what I love about his act?
Yeah.
We went and saw his act at the Magic Village. What's it called?
The Magic Castle. Yeah.
And
it's a part. It looms over the Magic Village. It's
right.
Kind of the Magic Village is a serfdom.
Yeah. I had actually visited the Magic Drugstore, which went great.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I like about Matt's act, and I'll tell you his surname in a moment. What I like about Matt's act is that
people are like, is this Matt Pinfield from 120 Minutes? What's he doing?
What I like about Matt's act is it's all the fun of magic without feeling like the premise of it is that I'm being tricked.
Yeah.
That's what I love. That's what I love about this. That's what I love about this guy's act. We'll talk about what he did. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about what he can do, what he's capable of, the kind of evil and darkness at the core of his soul.
Sure.
Or the hole where his soul should be. Matt Ricardo.
Hello.
Hi, Matt.
So let me get this absolutely clear. I've come all the way from England, and I'm not going to learn about how to get rich and property flipping.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, you can listen to our back catalog. Anybody can. But, as far as learning about it in person, I think you're SOL.
I was under the impression this was some sort of seminar.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
Does England have private property? I was under the impression that England was some sort of collectivist state.
Like three people in England have all the private property.
Got it.
Yeah.
The Queen.
The Queen.
A horse.
A horse.
That belongs to the Queen.
And of course, Robbie Williams.
Oh, not anymore.
Not anymore.
No.
Are you guys not so hot on Robbie Williams these days?
You're obviously not up on your current British, you know. No, Robbie Williams has been failing really well for the last 5-10 years.
Oh, Robbie.
Yeah, I know.
He lives here in Los Angeles, does he not?
Oh, I don't know. That's a
good question.
I think
Robbie Williams lives in Los Angeles because
I've not seen him at Cafe Gratitude or any of Danny Trejo's restaurants.
Got it.
So he might not live here.
I think he moved to Los Angeles because no one has ever heard of him here. So he can live a celebrity's lifestyle without being bothered.
He seems like the kind of person that very much likes not being famous.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere where he can just blend in.
I watch him on a Stephen Fry special about being bipolar. That he apparently then afterwards had stricken from television history and has never aired again because he changed his mind about it, about talking publicly about being bipolar.
Ooh. There was a documentary where he spent an hour on television looking for UFOs and aliens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was there?
Yeah. He went to UFO conventions in Roswell and stuff.
But literally Americans at home are right now they're who is Robbie Williams? Robbie Williams was the Justin Timberlake of the UK maybe 5 or 10 years before Justin Timberlake was Justin Timberlake, right? A boy band star who became a big solo pop
star. He was in a boy band called Take That. And he was,
That's a very good boy band name.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. And he was the bad boy of the boy band.
Right.
And he went solo. And he had a year of hanging out at with Oasis and going to Glastonbury and being obviously using narcotics. And then he cleaned up and released a solo album with awful schmaltzy pop on and became incredibly rich.
Do you think Robbie Williams should team up with the other 90s UFO enthusiast, the other guy from Blink-182?
Oh, really? I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, there's Blink-182 who has the guy and the other guy.
Right.
And then, but the other guy quit the band to focus on finding UFOs.
Is the other guy... Okay, so I don't know very much about Blink-182. My pop punk awareness ends at Green Day, I would say. But were the two both guys singers?
Yes, there's one guy who sings normal and one guy who sings bad.
So is the normal singing guy the guy who sings like a normal pop punk guy, like a baby who's been abandoned in front of a microphone?
That's the bad singer.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Right, who would say, where are you? Where are you?
Yeah.
Or, where are you? A-W-O-R-E.
Oh, or. Why?
So he has, I think, realized that he was, in fact, a singing baby and is devoting more time to finding UFOs.
Which anyway. He can do at a grown-up level.
Right, exactly. He still needs to take a break every once in a while and have his num-nums.
Should we talk about what Matt Ricardo does in his act?
Yes, we absolutely should.
So we went to the Magic Castle, which I have never been to. It's a private club here in Los Angeles, although the private rules are very loose based on the crowd that was there.
Sure.
But
this is something you do every year, right? Or at least or try to do once a year?
I did it last year and they had me back for this year. Yeah.
So The show that we saw was in a showroom that seats 75 or something.
The Palace of Mystery.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is just so magic-y. It's really amazing. I think you have to before you enter the club, you have to say open sesame to an owl.
This is true.
Yeah. It's an entire world created by men in polyester suits in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
It is both amazing and sad, and of 1969, and timeless in all categories. And the joint was jumping.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, this was a weekday evening, early weekday evening, and the joint was jumping. But the show was a sweet young man who performed magic. He did a little bit of comedy in the middle, weirdly. But, yeah, made birds appear.
Yeah, doves, bunnies, etc.
But mostly dove and bunny work, and it was, you know, it's remarkable to see that work, you know? I don't know where those fucking doves came from.
No way.
Maybe his butt. So
it's his butt.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Yeah. Wow.
You know, wow.
Secrets revealed.
Yeah. We're going to get our own Fox special.
Oh, man.
Butt secrets of magicians revealed.
Oh. I thought we were going to box celebrities.
Yeah, well, that's part of it.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be hosted by the late Manute Bol, one way or another. So there was that. There was a guy who was about 60, 65 years old who did like Buddy Hackett type comedy and magic, mm-hmm. who I'm not going to say the guy's name, and I wouldn't ask Matt to make a comment about a colleague. But what impressed me about him and his act was his jokes were so abysmal, and not even like ironic level abysmal, but just terrible, hoary old jokes. And he was so winning. Like, I was so charmed at his stage persona as just, like, the most professional hack comedian ever mm-hmm. that I was – I enjoyed his act.
Sure.
I give his act at least 6.5 out of 10.
It was
just on sheer chutzpah.
I had such a wonderful evening at your show in the Phantom Zone.
Yes.
What was it called again?
Yeah, let's call it the Phantom Zone. That's
– Right. The Land of Nightmares.
It was me, General Zod. It's a good bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great patter with Zod.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in the middle, Matt.
Kneel before me. Yeah. Yeah, that's gets me every time. I know he's going to tell me to kneel before him, but.
It's a strong catchphrase.
It is. It's a very strong catchphrase.
In the middle, Matt did his act, and Matt's act is predicated on feats of dexterity, particularly built around taking a tablecloth out from underneath a bunch of things on a table, then as his grand finale, spoiler alert, replacing the tablecloth on the table, which is a remarkable
goddamn
thing.
Amazing. Thank God you very much.
It is, you know, Matt's been eating off that for 10 years.
30.
Yeah.
It's
both literally and figuratively because it involves the table.
Yeah.
Eating on it and off it.
Yeah.
Yeah. First person in the world to ever learn to do it, which is either fantastic or a complete waste of my life.
I mean, both,
a little
right?
Both,
I mean,
right?
It
yeah.
seems clear to me that it's both.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
you're
happy
also,
with that.
You also have, there's also some sword and knife work in
yes.
your act, which is also very amazing. How does, when one is traveling from, you know, England to LA or wherever to mm-hmm. travel, how does one get one's magic knives on the plane?
What I have discovered is, and this is depressing but true, I am a middle-aged, well-spoken white man in a suit.
Mm.
So I literally have – they ask no questions. Like not one question except when I was getting the Eurostar, you know, the train that goes
yeah,
from
yeah.
London to Paris.
I took that during the London Podcast Festival.
Oh,
I took
yeah.
it from Paris
it's
to
It's a delightful
it's
journey, isn't
wonderful
it?
Wonderful journey.
Yeah.
I had a little cheese sandwich with pickles in it.
Oh, pickles.
It was nice.
No, I want pickles.
Yeah, pickles are good.
But that's the only place where they've searched my suitcase. They've taken out the big knives, which are obviously fake knives. They're not
right.
blunt. You know, they're blunt. They're just stupid theatrical props. And they haven't let me take them on the train. And they got very grumpy about it. And the solution that they found was to go to a convenience store, get a plastic bag, wrap the bag around the knives, and then say, okay, now they're safe. Now you can take them.
Like we just want to look like we're doing our
yeah,
job.
Exactly.
We want to keep them from leaking.
Yeah, exactly.
And hopefully there's a little square on it where you can write the date you put the knives in there so you know whether to throw them out.
You know,
or
they're
not.
Good.
There's a lot of pressure changes in the chunnel.
Sure.
Yes.
You don't know whether. Yeah.
You also when we were chatting afterwards, you told a funny story about there's a bit in your act where it looks like you've sliced your arm. It looks like you've
yes.
sliced into your arm.
You've embedded a knife in your forearm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, again, spoiler alert, it's revealed to be a trick,
yes.
but there was you did
he pulls the knife away and shows the half crescent of the trick knife
after yeah. everyone is done screaming
yeah.
after the screams die down
yeah, yeah. a few people threw up
yeah
it was
yeah.
quite a scene
but you were telling me that there was a show you did where they did not let you reveal that it was a trick
yeah well I've worked over Christmas at the Magic Circle, which is the British equivalent of the Magic Castle. It's the secret society of magicians.
It's maybe like a little more of a real museum-y thing
yeah
but also maybe a little more down market than the Magic Castle?
It is. It's more of a kind of budget airport hotel look rather right. than the kind of...
a little bit of a Knott's Berry Farm to Disneyland.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And they're really, you know, for them, secrecy is the most important thing.
Right.
Above entertainment value.
Right.
Which is, listen, you know, people aren't here to be entertained.
But it's true. You know, at the Magic Castle, it's all about, you know, can you entertain an audience? The Magic Circle is about the kind of the sort of cerebral art form level of magic, you know. So, yeah. So I did some gigs for them and they had a polite word saying, if you reveal that knife gag, then you will be fired immediately and you'll be kicked out of the Magic Circle.
You perform in all kinds of different contexts. I think we met you at the Edinburgh Festival where there's every kind of performer. But, you know, you'll perform in between music acts. You'll perform in between burlesque acts. You'll perform like wherever it is.
Yeah.
But when you perform in a magic specific context, is it difficult for the magicians to accept that part of what you're doing is not tricking anyone?
Yeah, it's the difference between me and a magician is that I use dexterity not to try and fool somebody, but just to try and impress them. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it splits magicians down the middle. Some of them think, you know, I'm using dexterity.
Not for literally, though, because that would be the kind of trick they would love.
That they, yes. Yeah, no, some of them think I'm using this skill for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Where are your secrets? Magic, it's a weird world. It's generational. You know,
are you telling me that magicians are weird?
They're not. Compared
to... I mean, it's just the kind of thing that you pick up when you're at school dances, out with your friends at nightclubs. It's the kind of skill that you really develop in social situations. I would think that no magicians would be weirdos.
No, they were very socially adept.
Right.
Yeah, confident.
Yeah.
Beautiful ponytails.
Yeah,
beautiful
gorgeous ponytails. By far, Matt, I enjoyed your act a ton, and I enjoyed the whole show. I even enjoyed the magician who was trying to trick me doing magic, because he just seemed like such a sweet guy.
Does it make you angry that they try and trick you?
I just don't like that I'm paying for it. And that, like, I don't like their attitude about it.
That they know things you don't know.
Yeah, like, but not just that they know things I don't know. Like, sure, there's plenty of people who have powers that I don't have, skills that I don't have that I interact with gladly.
Sure.
It's just that they're kind of smug dicks about it.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like their whole deal is like, I'm going to figure out some shit that no one else can do so that I can really rub their nose in it. So anyway, I really enjoyed the show, but the highlight of the evening by far for me, and again, I don't mean to slight your performance, which
sure.
was really a joy, but was when we were at the bar and an enormous man with a giant ponytail, like a three quarters of the way down his back, blonde ponytail. And the man was roughly square in shape. He was sitting at the bar.
A boxman.
Yeah, exactly.
A real boxman.
And he had, I presume, his girlfriend there with him. And she, you know, everybody dresses up at the Magic Castle. A coat and tie is required for men. So, you know, she's wearing a gown and he's wearing a coat and tie. And I can see behind them. So it's just his beautiful ponytail streaming like a mighty river down the back of his suit coat. And he just puts his arm around her and then goes down, 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 up right onto her butt like he was shopping for melons at the grocery store and just fucking
the butt.
Just fucking
the
left
butt.
It there.
Yeah.
Just left it there like that was a thing to do in public.
Yeah.
That was my highlight of the evening. But your show was second, Matt.
I think magic is the great aphrodisiac.
Uh-huh.
I think we can
sure.
all agree on that.
I were to describe, and I've been to the Magic Castle a few times. Mm-hmm. This was by far my favorite. It was a goddamn delight. I were to and every time I've been there, I would describe the atmosphere as horny. There is a cloud. There's like a musk, a mist, a kind of a fog, just a horny fog that kind of drifts over all of the proceedings. And I don't know what that is. I mean, maybe it's just because it is kind of a wonderland. It kind of feels like you know, you're in a story or you're in a, you know, it's secret. It's away from the rest of the world where you can truly be as horny as you want to be. But it's yeah. there. I don't know. Is that something you've noticed?
Are you sure it's not something you bring with you when you go?
That could be. I also do sometimes feel like that at the CVS. But
oh, we all
Jordan,
like
are
that.
You yeah, also yeah, sure yeah. that horny as you want to be isn't Vanilla Ice's third biggest hit? To be.
Right. It was for Ninja Turtles 3, uh-huh. the one where they go to feudal Japan.
Yeah.
And then he teaches them the hit song, Horny as You Want to Be.
Yeah. Number two, two. Letter B.
Oh, and actually, this is funny. I told you guys about this that happened to me on the way to the show. I think it's worth repeating on the podcast.
Good, because I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. So I took a Lyft to the show because I was going to get my drink on.
Yeah, sure.
You guys know.
Congratulations, by the way, on being the least drunk person in the entire.
I know.
The amount of drunkenness for an 8 o'clock show, the first of three shows that you had that night, I believe. Yeah. The amount of drunkenness was astonishing. Mm-hmm. It was like being in a nightclub at 2 a.m. The amount of drunk that these people were at 9:15 on a mm-hmm. Tuesday night. Just a huge group of, as far as we could tell, country club employees from Orange County.
Yeah. Club managers, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was astonishing. Astonishing how drunk these people
were. It's so much easier to baffle and fool people if they're fucking hammered.
Yeah.
You know? Just jangle keys in front of them.
Yeah. That literally would have done it. Yeah. That would have done it. There was people. I mean, I've been to so many comedy shows in my life, mm-hmm. and there's often a table of drunk people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's either a belligerent dude or a group of women that came together that are very, very hammered and socializing with each other. But the extent of the four people were sitting behind us and engaged us in conversation. Mm-hmm. And the amount of drunk those people were, like, it was as though they had gotten drunk, then done, like, gotten drunk at 7, then done
They're
some
trying
blow
to, keep it
to
going.
Get
They're
pumped
trying to
for
keep
the,
it going.
It was incredible. And they were so employees of management level employees of a country club in Orange County as well. It was breathtaking, truly breathtaking.
Mm. Yeah. I got a round of applause by telling them you can put peanut butter on an Oreo and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
so you were taking a lift
I
to
took
the
a
Magic
lift,
Castle.
And, you know, and so I get into the lift and the driver's kind of looking at the route and she's like, oh, Magic Castle. And then she kind of looks back at me in the rear view and she's like, so are you doing a show? I guess I present as potential magician.
I think it was the cape.
Yeah. You know, in hindsight, mm-hmm. It might have been
I'm not
my
saying
cape.
It wasn't stylish. You can count
Jordan was just trying to put on the Ritz, you know. That's his
just
signature.
Trying to put it on the Ritz, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, Jordan.
I was blue and I didn't know where to go to.
You have to understand that there's multiple components of identity. So while you present as a magician, mm-hmm. you may not identify as a magician.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a different thing. You can be a magician but not do magic.
Yeah.
You could not be a magician but do magic.
Exactly.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
And I think something that I kind of realized, I've been thinking about this, and I think something that I think I've confirmed about myself is I think I'm a little bit of a nerd cipher.
Uh-huh.
I think I am as general a, like, you know, pudgy white as you can possibly be. And I think if you looked at me, you know, you could put any number of nerd things upon me and it would track, kind of.
I think you also, if I can add to this description, I think part of what's going on is you have a look and a manner where a nerd looks at you and says, that guy's my friend.
Sure.
That's a friendly guy who I can come up to and nerd out about what. And what's interesting is, I wouldn't call you not a nerd, but, you know, even maybe your most passionate nerd related interests, mm-hmm. like reading comics or playing video games, you're not so up on it. I mean,
sure. There's a,
it's not the center of you're too much of a responsible adult man with a non-nerd career to really have that be a central thing in your life.
I don't have a lot of vinyl figurines.
Yeah, exactly.
I do have a Spider-Man bobblehead. That's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
When I came in here today, I was wearing a quite an obscure comic book pin, and you immediately, you know, recognized it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's a
that.
Really cool pin, by
Thank
the way.
You very
I do.
Much.
I will ask you off mic where you got it and get one for myself.
I recognize that too. So I don't. I think you may be overstating the. Yeah.
Yes, but I think that is the same reason this woman asked me if I was a magician is the same reason people ask me to help with their computer or if I know something about Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
And I do not know anything about either.
Yeah.
So anyway, I feel like I am every nerd in a way. I'm every nerd and no nerd.
Can I reframe this for you, Jordan?
Please.
Is it possible that people see you and they just think that guy's got powers?
It could be. Yeah. It could have been, and it could have been the horny cloud that follows me everywhere I go. And she's like, and I learned this on the ride over is that the driver had been to the Magic Castle before and really had a good time
and was still horny.
And yeah, or so you know, maybe when I got in the car, she's like, oh, this musk that this guy's carrying mm-hmm. with him.
I know this sweet smell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She said to herself. She probably carries a nosegay of horny wherever she goes.
Sure.
The familiar stench of horny conjuring.
Have you thought about maybe describing that?
I think that's my next one-man show.
Horny conjuring?
Horny, the stench of horny conjuring. Yeah.
Have you made any magic friends while you're working at the Magic Castle?
Colleagues? Let's say colleagues.
Let's say yeah. colleagues, yeah.
Yeah, no, because everyone's friendly. Everyone's
yeah,
very friendly.
Are. It's like being in a model railroading club. It's like on the one hand, I don't have the attention to detail to be in a model railroading club. You know, like at the end of the day, I would just space out rather than be helpful. But I look at that model railroad and then I think like, man, it'd be cool to have made that. And then I'm like, I bet these guys would be really excited to have a new friend, mm-hmm. and I would be happy to be friends with them.
Yeah, yeah. I think magic people like me because I'm not a magician, so I can. I don't really know a lot about magic. You know, I'm a juggler basically. Huh. So they can show me a trick, and I will react like a rube.
Right.
We'll go, ah, fuck, it's gone. you know. And they're really impressed because they never get that backstage. You know,
right.
when one magician shows a trick to another one, they go, oh, yeah, no, I see what you did.
Right. It's by making a joke to a comic or something like that.
Exactly.
Like, nice.
Yeah, funny.
Or something. Good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Whereas as a magician, you know, it's what you want is someone to go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And you never get that with other magicians, you know.
Matt, I want to be clear about one thing. I know that you, I mean, because we met in Edinburgh, I know you've heard the program before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say on behalf of myself, this is something that Jordan's never indulged in, but I just want to say that I really respect your circus skills and I'm proud that you use them for good.
I mean, what makes you think I use them for good?
Isn't
that exactly what I'd want you to believe?
Oh, wow. Is one of your circus skills deception?
Well, if I told you, it wouldn't be, would it?
So, yeah, that's true.
It is. I mean, speaking of comic books, I mean, it is kind of a perfect – it's kind of a perfect villain backstory. Cabaret performer by night, evil robber by day. You mm-hmm. flip them.
Yeah.
You have to work at nights.
You work nights mostly.
Yeah. And then do some like daring broad daylight bank robberies with fake cleavers.
What is the weirdest context, Matt, that you have ever performed your act in? Because I imagine like do you also even get like weird corporate jobs and stuff like that, right? Because you just have an agent who's like looking for some amazing shit to take up 20 minutes. We've got it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, because my background is in street performing.
Right.
So the first 15 years of my career was literally on streets all over the world. So all the crazy shit happens then and there.
Right.
You know, so anything that could happen in a comedy club or any sort of heckling or anything like that could happen there is nothing compared to what has happened to me as a street performer.
Right.
I could tell you some fucking stories.
Well, I insist that you not do so.
Okay.
Please don't tell us any interesting stories. We're trying to focus on real estate here.
Mid-90s. Covent Garden Piazza in London, the home of European street theatre, beautiful natural, theatre, outdoor theatre, doing a show, 300 people doing my shtick that you've seen, having fun, nice day. A woman pushes her way through the crowd, walks into the middle of my space, acknowledges nobody, drops her pants, pulls up her skirt, does a shit.
Does a shit.
pulls up her pants, straightens down her skirt, leaves through the crowd who make a space for her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's it. That's a fucking critique.
Right.
There's no heckle that can touch me now. The bar has been set, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
And honestly,
yeah,
I...
someone fake snoring in the audience. It's like nothing compared to someone shitting
a
in front of you.
Took a dump in front of me. I mean, and the thing is, you know, everyone sees it. You can't hide it. You can't move on. So... I there were like these trash cans on the street, so I just kind of pushed a trash can in front of it so they can't see it.
Sure.
They can still smell it. I mean,
you know what the secret is once they can't see it directly, you just sort of move your hand over to the side and then that draws their attention that way.
Misdirection.
Yeah, it's called misdirection.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you. I mean, I too was taken aback by how wasted everybody was at the show we were at.
Yeah.
And you know, was so, I mean, God, I mean, I've, you know, I don't go on stage that much these days, but I definitely have been in like improv shows or, you know, I did a show at the SF Sketchfest this year where there were some kind of drunk front row people and it's terrifying. And I'm just talking, like, I don't have to do anything amazing. And I was so amazed that, like, you know, you handled the drunkenness and then went about being amazing. And I'm like, oh, but I guess that is just the calluses built up with years of having to perform in front of shitters.
It's really true. In front of, I mean, not everyone was a shitter.
No, I don't mean
isolated incident.
The one shitter.
I mean, I imagine that when you put that fucking tablecloth back under the shit that's on the table, there's a few people shitting themselves right there.
Oh, that's what I'm aiming for, certainly. Yeah.
There's two kinds of shits. I guess there's the critical shit, which you got that time in the 90s, but then there's
a nice appreciative dump.
Appreciative dump.
Yeah. Somebody comes over and says, "You smell that? You did that. Thank you."
I think that's the musk.
That's the musk.
That's the musk.
Some might think it's horniness. Some might think it's a dump. In Germany, it's the same thing. Yeah. This episode already has so many potential titles.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the smallest segment that has the most potential episode titles.
And in the end, Brian is just going to call it Make a Shit.
Sure. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Well, of course, Jordan, Jesse, Go is brought to you every week by folks who support us at MaximumFun.org/donate. This week, it's also supported by our friends at Squarespace, which they pronounce, interestingly, Squatterspace.
Oh, I don't think they do. They probably want us just to say Squarespace.
So we shouldn't just say Squatterspace.
No, we shouldn't.
It's spelled the same way, so people won't have trouble going to squarespace.com and entering the code JJGO.
Yeah.
It's just that as you type it, you can think in your head, oh, Squatterspace.
You know what? Think whatever you want to.
Okay.
As long as you're going to squarespace.com and putting in offer code JJGO when you want to make your own website.
Yeah, no matter what kind of website you want to make, whether you want to showcase work, you want to showcase your business, you want to sell things online, Squarespace is an easy way to do it. We've used Squarespace for websites here at MaximumFun.org. It is genuinely easy to build a beautiful website with Squarespace.
Yeah, I used it to build my personal website that I used to get freelance writing jobs. JordanMorris.net. Check it out. And I am, Jesse, you know this about me. Mm-hmm. I am not a man who knows things to do with a computer.
No, sir.
I am bad at computers. Despite being a nerd.
An Xbox is a type of computer.
Yeah, I guess I could use that okay.
Yeah. Although, I don't think you even have the latest Xbox. You've got a PlayStation.
I've got a PS4. I'm a PS4 man. But I'm also a Squarespace man because I went to squarespace.com and I put in my own offer code, Jesse, because I'm a man of the people.
Absolutely. Well, if you go to squarespace.com, you get a free trial. And then when you're ready to launch, you use the offer code JJGO to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com and enter the code JJGO. We also have another sponsor this week.
The folks at Stitch Fix.
Oh, which they pronounce Stitch Fix.
They don't. It's just Stitch Fix.
Really?
But you know what they do, though?
What's that?
They do just pronounce it Stitch Fix, but they do like it when you sing, "When a problem comes along, you must stitch it." It is a new, simple way to shop for clothes.
You know, Jordan, you can tell a guy who's got style, and that takes a certain skill set not all of us were born with. But now there's an easy way to look better with Stitch Fix Men.
You go to stitchfix.com, you answer questions about your sizes, your budget, and what styles you like, and then your personal stylist selects clothes just for you. They ship them to you. You pay for what you keep. Shipping is free both ways.
Yeah, this is a service that you actually utilized, right? You told them some information about yourself.
Yeah, you know, you tell them, you know, are you going from your the workplace to out on the town? Do you need something more formal, more casual, business casual? You kind of tell them a little bit about your life, what kinds of clothes you need, and they ship you a great box, and you only pay for what you keep. I got a great pair of jeans from Stitch Fix. I've gotten some great shirts that I've got many compliments on. So if you would like many compliments...
I told them I'm a train engineer and I got the perfect hat.
There you go. The classic choo-choo cap.
That was a classic with a twist, my friend. Get started now at stitchfix.com/JJGo. You'll also get 25% off when you keep all five items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/JJGo to get started today. stitchfix.com/JJGo. You know, we mentioned, Jordan,
yes,
the real way that we pay the bills here at Jordan, Jesse, Go! And across the MaximumFun.org network. That's through listener support. We only ask for your support once a year during the Max Fun Drive. And the Max Fun Drive is right around the corner.
Yeah, you go to MaximumFun.org/donate. It kicks off April 2nd, and it runs for 2 weeks, and we have a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, we're going to have premium episodes with some of your favorite fellow Max Fun hosts. We're going to have awesome thank you gifts to everybody who supports this show and all the shows at Max Fun. And, you know, like, I really want to emphasize, when you support us during the Max Fun Drive, you are supporting this show. If you listen to Jordan, Jesse, Go!, your donations go to Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's not like, I don't know. Once in a while, I think people think that I just have like a vault and then I'm just writing checks at will. Like, $100 for Ross and Carrie and $500 for Minority Corner. And no, it's really how we actually pay the bills, and your money goes directly to the shows you listen to. So don't miss it.
Don't miss it. We got a lot of fun stuff. Can I tease this? We've got a couple of special episodes coming up.
Yeah.
We're doing a great one with Carrie Poppy of Oh No, Ross and Carrie. We're going through some calls that were a little too hot for the air.
That'll be for donors only.
But also for donors only, I recorded a very special podcast with a certain judge where we talk about a certain food that is cheese.
Oh, man, I didn't even know Judge Judy loved cheese.
No, not Judy. Oh, God, I wish.
Wapner?
No, not Wapner either, my friend. Guess one more judge.
Joe Brown.
Yeah, that's the one. No, me and John Hodgman have a very special one-episode-only podcast about cheese that you can get if you donate in the Max Fun Drive.
Do you want to tell them what it's called?
Shootin' the Breeze. It's a very dumb show where we talk about cheese.
It's because you're both former professional cheese mongers.
We both briefly worked in the cheese business. I think his stint was more successful than mine. But we get into it. We talk to a professional cheese man from France. And it's a real hoot. And you can only listen if you donate.
Ooh la la.
That's the way he would not want you to talk.
It starts April 2nd. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Matt Ricardo, fast hands, smart mouth, nice suit.
The man actually
is reading from his Edinburgh Fringe Festival poster.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
He's just delivering his log line.
It works. Sticking with it.
Listen, I mean, I think your slogan fits. It's descriptive. It coaxes people into your show. If, you know, during the next segment you just want to throw it away and be Doobie Goober or something like that.
Doobie Goober.
That's fine, too.
Yeah. I'm not doing appreciative dump.
Appreciative
Matt
dump.
Matt Ricardo, appreciative dump.
Doobie Goober.
Yeah, that's my example of a Jordan, Jesse, Go nickname.
Wow. Yeah. Have you just been saving that for years?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's
pretty good.
Fucking, you earned that shit.
If ever we have someone who can't think of a nickname, I will gift them Doobie Goober.
Oh, my gosh.
If there's not a Twitter account, Doobie Goober, I'm getting it now.
Yeah, you got to want to squat on that one.
Okay, speaking of squatting on things, Jordan and I, a few weeks ago on the program, asked, this is something that came up on our Facebook group, in the Max Fun Facebook group.
A lot of fun over there.
That we then expanded beyond just the Facebook group. And we threw out a call to you, the Jordan Jesse Go listener, to call us and share with us what the craziest thing you've lost inside your body has been. We learned, or that you had direct experience with, no hearsay, but direct experience with it being lost inside a body. So a family member, a person that you performed healthcare upon, this sort of thing was also acceptable. Because this Facebook thread, I don't know how you felt about it, Jordan, but I was immediately astonished at the sheer volume. Mm-hmm. Both on an individual basis and on a collective basis, of the things that had been lost in people's bodies in various ways.
Yeah, we thought it would be appropriate because we have Matt here, who is affiliated with the magical arts, to talk about disappearing.
Yeah.
That is tenuous at best.
Thank you.
As I understand it, in prison it's called hooping. Mm. The ability to pass objects of value into your body by means other than the mouth.
Hooping. Okay.
But I'm also interested in things lost during surgery or consumed.
Sure.
Non-food items that have been consumed.
Yeah. I had that story about losing that earbud in my nasty little ear canal.
Yeah,
exactly.
We'll
take an ear canal.
Yeah, we'll take it. Any orifice that you can stick something in, we're interested in something getting lost in there.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we do this, of course, as a sort of public service announcement. The motto of Jordan Jesse Go, of course, is without a base.
Without a trace.
Yeah. So let's take our first call.
Hi, Jordan Jesse, possible guest. This is Al from Florida. Calling regarding an action item. I've got some things that have been stuck inside of me. Whenever I was younger, maybe 5-6 years old, I made a habit of taking the toy billiard sets.
Can you pause this, Brian? Because I'm already what I love about how this call started is he says, "Whenever I was younger," like as though once in a while he gets back into that headspace and really shoves a billiard ball up his ass.
This could be. I don't want to. You know. I don't think these things are necessarily related. But this man could be an adult baby.
Yeah, that's also
so
possible.
He is sometimes younger.
Yeah.
But you know, then he throws on the suit and goes to work. Anyway.
Do you think he sometimes wears his dighty under his suit?
Yeah, and if he wants to feel a little nasty.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants to feel a little nasty at the office. And who among us doesn't want to feel a little nasty at
just
the office?
Just not all the time. I know you don't work
special
in an office,
occasions.
Matt. But on special occasions, sometimes you want to feel nasty as you want to be.
I'm starting to wish I worked in an office.
Yeah.
I want this opportunity.
It's really cool. I actually, in order to feel nasty here at the office, I sometimes have my employees call me Miss Jackson.
Sure, yeah.
Go ahead and press play, Brian.
Mart's your Kmart, and obviously not playing fool with them because that's impossible, and I would shove as many of the tiny billiards up my nose as I could. This was sort of a party trick that I did that no one was impressed with until one time I shoved 5 of them up my nose and 2 of them did not come out, and I had to go get them sucked out by a doctor. I also got some corn kernels stuck in my ear doing the same thing whenever I was maybe 9 or 10 years old. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Bye.
That's amazing. That's beautiful.
This guy's quite the shover.
My daughter put a rubber band up her nose, and we believe it may be there still.
Hmm.
She claimed that she had removed it, but she was obviously showing us a different thing that was not a rubber band. And so we knew that she was just trying to get out from under the onus of having a rubber band in her nose.
Yeah.
And so a healthcare professional of some kind told us, "Have you heard of mother's breath?" We were like, "No, we haven't heard of mother's breath." Apparently, what you can do in this situation is if something's up the nose, you can plug the nostril that it's not in and then basically do like a mouth to mouth and blow in, and the air pops the thing out of the nose.
Oh, boy.
that seems ridiculously dangerous. In my head, eyes are coming out.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that's how it works.
In my head, you're getting something, you're getting a whack right in the brain.
Yeah.
I don't know if the two are connected. I don't know a lot about anatomy, but I mean,
we're not
thinking,
doctors.
Yeah, of course we're not.
We're not.
Please do not consult us for medical advice.
No, you can. You can.
You know, something I liked about...
I'm a doctor.
Oh, okay.
Not a real doctor, but...
I mean, I'm...
I claim to be... Actually, I claim to be a doctor.
I'm a federal bikini inspector. So it's kind of like... It's like being a registered...
I've never met a real FBI agent.
That's true. Something I like about this story that I think needs to be remarked upon is that it's as a party trick that he admitted no one had ever liked.
Yeah.
That's something he did at parties, but like had never... It's gross. It's totally gross. I love his commitment to doing this at parties despite no one liking
the
it.
The saga of the lonely child.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, and this is my milieu. I know tricks.
Yeah.
And if it's a trick no one likes, it's not a trick.
Right, yes.
It's just a thing you do.
Hmm.
What's the thing that you like the most that the others like the least?
In my act.
Yeah, or in your abilities. It may have been cut from your act out in a fit of realism.
There's the thing that I like that my wife hated the most, which is from my last one-man show where I juggled three electric cordless carving knives jammed in the on position.
Oh, boy.
Which was just fucking stupid of me. But I did it on a UK tour every night, you know. But,
yeah.
And I hurt myself.
By the way, Matt, congratulations on finding a woman to tolerate this bullshit.
Yeah, no shit.
It's really remarkable. What a remarkable and beautiful love story it is.
But I mean, maybe speaking of love stories, I mean, kind of something, you know, somewhere where I saw this going, and maybe this is just the screenwriter in me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't turn it off.
Because you were thinking Matt could save a cat right before he
right,
does
of course.
That.
You have to save the cat, then juggle the knives.
Yeah.
Is I was thinking this was leading to some sort of meet cute where this guy's doing this billiard snorting
mm-hmm.
at parties, you know, being rebuffed by everyone. No mm-hmm. one likes it. And then finally, he meets that one special person who's like, hey, I like how you cram that shit up your nose. Wouldn't it be nice if we were older? That's the music cue. We have a big music budget for this.
I assume that you meant it might be a good meet cute for Matt to juggle the electric carving knives because he is an electric carving knife juggler and his beautiful wife is a hand repairer.
Sure.
She does hand repairs.
Only hand repairs.
Yeah. Let's take another call.
Yeah, this is Isaac from Wyoming. And basically, I lost a fingernail in my eye about 20 years ago.
Oh, no!
Following my mom's example and clipping my fingernails while sitting in the back row of church Sunday morning. One of them flew off and went in my eye, tried to get it out. Obviously, my eye is watering. It gets kind of stuck, so I run out one-eyed into the bathroom, go into the mirror, and while I closed my eye, it, like, went underneath my eyelid, so I could feel it against my eye and the backside of my eyelid. So I open up my eye, and I feel it go deeper. I pull back my eyelid, and I can't really see it, so I blink a couple more times, and I feel it go even deeper, like... Now it's, like, not against my eyelid anymore, but it just went into my body.
It goes
I can feel
on
it against
so long.
My eye. And basically, I just sat there holding my eye open, pulling the lid down, trying to fish it out with just my 9-year-old fingers, and failed. I have no idea what happened to it. It dissolved or something. So thanks.
That is like if Un Chien Andalou was a documentary.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
That about was, eye distress.
Yeah. Just went on and got worse.
Sure did.
Oh,
I had I had forgotten this, but when I was in sixth grade, I was walking down the path at the school that I went to, and a bug flew into my eye and went under my eyelid. And I went to the school. It was a small school, so there wasn't like a school nurse. Mm-hmm. So I went to the receptionist, and I was like, there's a bug under my eye. Inside of my eye socket. And she got the science teacher, which I guess is like the closest thing to a nurse, just as like you're looking for a doctor, but you would take you would take an EMT, you would accept in the, and you're like, well, the EMT knows the basics and they can pass it off to the doctor. She was like, okay, there's no doctor, there's no nurse, there's no EMT. I guess the science teacher, like a middle school science teacher, she probably owns her own forceps.
Or she could just tell you what kind of bug it was.
And she did such a bad job getting it. It was like the most terrible part of my entire middle school years. And middle school was not easy for me.
The body has too many holes.
It does.
You know, when I'm president,
yeah,
I'm going to – we're going to sew up a couple,
sew them up. Sew them up.
Yes, so. That's what we'll chant at my rallies. Boy, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm running. I'm not so much running against my opponent as I am running against that fish that swims up your urethra.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Listen, I'm for emigration.
Right.
Except in the case of Brazilian urethra fish.
Yeah. Let's take another call.
Unless they have extraordinary ability.
Yeah. Well, like I mean, if they've got, if they have an advanced degree, yeah.
If they're Norwegian in some way.
Yeah.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Joe Paul calling from Connecticut. I was just listening to the recent episode where you were asking about things that were stuck inside people's bodies. I get bonus points according to Eliza Skinner because this happened during a surgery. My father had back surgery a few years ago to fix a pinched nerve, and after the surgery, he noticed that he was still having some pain, and they were showing him the x-rays, and my parents kept trying to ask, oh, what's this little spot here? And the doctors kept trying to be like, oh, no, it's nothing. But it turned out they had left a surgical sponge inside him after the surgery, and so he had to have a second surgery to remove it.
Wow.
So, healthcare at its finest.
That's like a whole
thing.
Thanks
for the show. Bye.
That's like a whole thing that you that doctors lose things in your body when they open you up.
Sure. Mm.
I'm not sure there's not things inside my body from the two surgeries that I've had. there could be... I don't know exactly what it would be, but maybe a nickel inside my balls.
There should be a pre-sew-up checklist.
There is, I think. I don't know how they – I think they have to list the things to each other, like do we have this? Do we have that? Do we have this? At least where I go to the doctor.
Check the change in your pocket. How much was there before the surgery?
Right. Yeah. Yes, yeah. To make sure no one has nickel balls.
Yeah, has anyone been clipping their fingernails?
You know, I had a pretty big surgery in the 90s, and I think I still have a Tamagotchi where my teen long battery life on those.
Yeah, it's probably dead by now, right? Yeah.
It is often...
Just reset it, I guess, and start again.
It is often the sponges.
Yeah.
Right. I think I have heard sponge before,
and,
too.
And as a sort of middle-aged-ish man... I quite like the idea of having some sponges inserted into me so everything is more comfortable.
Yeah.
When I sit down,
right,
it's soft.
It's like a buffer.
Yeah.
Sure.
What if you could get permanent lumbar support installed?
Oh, yeah. Just get a spine poof.
Who was it on our show? Maybe Vanessa Ramos, who talked about having that, like, inflatable lumbar support in her car seat.
Oh, yeah.
And turning it off sometimes so that she could turn it back on later as a treat.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Have you seen those? There's like senior citizen airbags now. This is a new gadget. It's a kind of a belt that a senior or someone just who's prone to whoopsies will put on themselves.
Like a Doobie Goober?
Yeah, some kind of Doobie Goober type. Or a Magoo.
Yeah.
Someone from the Magoo family.
Sure. Mrs. Magoo, Junior Magoo.
Sure. Oh, his nephew Waldo.
Yeah.
He was always dressed like a 1920s college kid.
Right.
You know,
he might have a
fur coat.
Might have a pole sitting accident.
Right, yeah. And Waldo. But yeah, I guess you clip on this belt, and if you take a little tumble, these belt bags will inflate and cushion your fall.
Oh, that sounds nice.
But you're saying we could get a kind of an internalized version of this.
Yeah.
A kind of a sponge inflator.
It just makes the world slightly more comfortable.
Yeah.
When I was in Copenhagen in Denmark, you may remember, Jordan, that I basically put out – I put out on Jordan Jesse Go that – because of the small number of people that listen to this program and the relatively small – proportion of them who's overseas, and because I was traveling by myself and was likely to be lonely, I indicated that I was willing to be friends with anyone in the nation of Denmark who was listening. And I did get a nice email from someone, and I wasn't actually in the end able to go – visit them. They lived outside of Copenhagen, I believe. But what was distinctive about their letter was, you know, they had provided some – they had sort of invited me and said, we'd love the show and whatever. And their evidence that they weren't crazy people was that they had invented the inflatable bicycle helmet that you wear like as a muff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no insane person could have invented that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take another call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and assumed guests. I'm going to go ahead and guess Chris Fairbanks.
Close.
Close. About the objects stuck in bodies. Didn't happen to me specifically, but I thought you guys would get a kick out of this. I'm the housekeeping manager for hospitals, and one of the hospitals that I work at insisted on buying a metal detector wand to wand over all the trash bags taken out of the surgery suites, because they were leaving so many pieces inside of people, and they wanted a way to double check that they had accidentally thrown it away and not left it inside of a patient. So there you go. Have a good one. Bye.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I don't know if that's scientifically sound.
Yeah.
But it's I see how you would make that logical leap.
I guess if you lost a scalpel, you don't want to go digging in the trash to find it. Medical garbage.
Yeah.
So what they're concerned with is the loss of a scalpel rather than whether it's inside a person.
Right.
If you don't put the wand over the person.
Yeah right.
That is a concern
scalpel,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, what if the person has, for example, brass balls?
For instance.
It would throw the whole thing off.
Sure.
Or nickel ball.
Yeah, or a nickel ball.
Or nickel balls. Condition. Sure.
Yeah. Any metal, frankly.
I'm surprised we've gone through this segment. No butts yet.
Yeah.
Not a single butt.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed. It sounds like people are really flaring those bases out there.
Sure, yeah. Well, they listen to this show, so they've obviously gotten the memo.
Let's take another call. Maybe this one will be a butt one.
Hi, this is Ben in Brooklyn. When I was in kindergarten, I think, I swallowed a nail, like a whole nail. And I went, got taken out of school, had to get an x-ray. There's an x-ray somewhere that I try to get a copy of that has the nail inside of me. And then the doctors told my mom that they should check my poop in the weeks following to see if it passed through me. And it never did. So don't know where that nail is. All right, bye.
By the way.
How?
Can I just say that I want this guy to be best friends with Dan McCoy from the Flophouse? They already both live in Brooklyn.
Similar vibes.
Yeah.
Boy. I mean, just youthful curiosity.
Yeah.
I can see, I get the physics of the nail clipping guy. He's clipping. They're shooting everywhere. You get under that lid. But how does one – it seems like you just have to do it on purpose.
Is it possible that it's like how pregnant women go in the backyard and eat dirt sometimes? It's just a compulsion driven by an iron deficiency.
Sure, right. It's an ancient need to eat a nail.
Yeah, like he should just switch to iodized salt and he would no longer feel the compulsive need to eat nails.
I think that guy's dead and that was a call from a ghost.
You know what? Yeah, that's what I think now, too. Yeah.
You know, we don't take these calls live. It could be like when you're looking at the stars. It's like a time machine,
light
you know?
The stars is from thousands of years ago.
He died since he made the call.
Yeah. I bet a lot of these people are ghosts.
Man died of rectum puncturing.
Mm-hmm.
Any story that involves the phrase checking your poops for nails.
Yeah.
Gotta be careful about those poops. Now, I'm going to say, that's another one that didn't go up the butt.
Yeah.
This is pretty remarkable.
Tangentially involved.
Right.
I don't know how many more we have. I would be amazed if we got through this.
Without a single butt one?
I guess that, you know, is telling us two things about the audience.
Yeah.
Or one of two things, rather, is that they listen to this program enough to know without a base, without a trace.
Right.
Or these are some uptight types who aren't exploring the erotic power of the anus and, in the case of the men, the prostate.
Yeah. Milk the prostate, guys.
Guys.
Or Or they're just a little more sophisticated. They've moved past the prostate and now they're working on nose, ear.
Sure. Oh, that's a good point.
The other sexual holes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, what more? Do we have, like, is this one more, Brian?
One more. Okay.
Oh, boy. Will it be a butt?
So it up.
This is why I came to America.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Pat from Vancouver, Washington, calling on the action item of losing something in yourself. My ex-girlfriend and I were having sex years ago, and when we finished, we could not find the condom that I had been wearing. And eventually, after some digging, she found it inside of her and freaked out and... thought that she was going to get pregnant and was yelling at me because we couldn't afford to have an abortion. And then she told me that this wouldn't have happened if my dick wasn't so small.
Oh,
we're no longer together.
Oh, my God.
Any children. But, yeah, that happened. Okay. Hard as a rock. What is a ring? I'm not sure. Love the new slogan.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Oh my God! There are guys who would pay so much money for that experience.
Yeah,
so much money for that experience. They're like mostly CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and stuff.
Yeah,
if you pitch that to the president right now, he'd give you $10,000 for that.
I think this happened. I don't think that this issue is a matter of dick size. I think this is just something that happens.
Yeah. I think sometimes condoms come off.
It's true. As
I'm using the British pronunciation.
Nicely done.
Thank you. I've been doing some work on Peaky Blinders, by which I mean I've seen an episode of Peaky Blinders, so I'm pretty good at it now. Condom.
Yeah. Well, hey.
The way to remember it is it rhymes with gendarmes.
Hey, caller, if you're listening, I hope that you are.
I hope so, too.
I just want to say, again, these things happen, and it's not necessarily because of dick size. Mm-hmm. But if you do have a small dick, just get good at eating pussy.
Yeah.
You know?
Jordan, I'm glad finally standing up on this program for pussy eating.
Man.
Finally taking a moment out from this program.
You know I like to get my drink on. My guy from earlier.
Yeah. I remember him.
Yeah.
I met him earlier.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
He is very cool.
Let's get his drink on.
Kind of guy you want in your lift.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's getting musky.
Probably.
Yeah, it's getting... Is that a musk I sense?
Something's magical in here.
I shot myself.
But I'm eating Lucky Charms out of a bag, so... It's probably those two things. It's probably Matt's... shit-filled pants and my baggie of Lucky Charms. They're magically delicious.
If you have a momentous occasion or you just lost something inside yourself, give us a call at 206-984-4FUN or email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Hey guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org. La, la, la,
la, la. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh, Matt Ricardo, England person here. Jet-lagged, long day.
Very long day.
Matt Ricardo, you travel the world performing your remarkable feats of dexterity.
Yes, sir.
If Jordan, Jesse, Go listeners are out there and they're intrigued by some of the dexterity that you've demonstrated by not embarrassing yourself on this program... which really involves a lot of dodging thrown feces. Where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Matt Ricardo.
M-A-T?
M-A-T, one T in Matt. And, Google me. I infect the internet like a show business virus.
Yeah.
And if you're in England, then I'm doing a new show at the Edinburgh Fringe this year, and we'll be touring it afterwards.
Yeah. Hey. We went and saw, when we were in England for the Edinburgh Fringe, we got to see Matt doing his act there as well, and it was really a hoot. Like, it is exactly what you want to see at the Edinburgh Fringe after you've seen Josie Long's show or whatever.
And I'll say, I've you know, Jesse, I'm online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out there. I'm on the net.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm monitoring, you know, chatter about the show.
I recently subscribed to EarthSpring.
So, yeah, there you go. So you're catching up to me.
Yeah.
As far as most online.
Yeah.
I'm the most online, but you're getting there.
I use Usenet.
Sure.
Do you have America Online here?
Yeah. Yeah,
it seems like you would.
It's what we all use. Yeah, yeah, because we're in America. And
makes sense.
We get online.
Now I think about it.
I have a free disc for you after this.
Oh, cool.
You
know, we actually here in America we don't call just this is a language thing. We don't call it America Online. We call it an elevator.
Sure.
Got it.
And in Canada, it's just called bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the boot.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I've been monitoring online chatter about this show, and I think a lot of people are remarking rightfully. We've had a really good streak of like first time guests knocking it out of the park.
Right.
And I'm agreeing. I think we've done some really good work lately. And you know, we've had some kids in here and we've taken chances on them.
Yeah.
You know.
And it doesn't always work out.
Sure.
This is a challenging program. It's a lot of bullshit to generate in just an hour and 15 minutes.
Absolutely. And I think we've had a lot of new people who have really risen to the occasion. We've had a lot of great shows.
A lot of people make mistakes when they're trying to do it. A lot of people think, I should try to be good or funny or entertaining.
Sure.
No, you just ride on the river of garbage until the ride's over.
I think we've had a lot of great, hilarious people lately, first-timers, new friends, people you're going to see back on the show at a moment's notice.
And we've also had Matt Ricardo.
I see.
Here's what I was going to say. Streak continued.
Yeah,
Matt was
that's
great.
True.
The streak
Matt was a joy.
Continues.
Matt was an absolute delight.
But you gotta cut him down sometimes. I get that. I get that. They become too powerful.
Yeah. Look at him. He's outdressed me today. Here
sure.
I'm standing here in... Clark's Wallabies in a sweatshirt and Matt's to the nines.
Yeah, looking good.
No tie.
No tie.
It's true.
But no, that handsome comic book pin from earlier.
Yes.
Oh, boy. The whole thing.
It was the, like, comics
The Comics Code logo.
Seal.
Really good.
I wonder how everyone's going to go and buy one and now it's not special.
Yeah.
Fine.
Sorry. You could just go to putthisonshop.com and find a great thing to put on there.
God damn
okay. Our producer, Brian Sunny D. Fernandez. Our theme music is Love You by The Free Design. Courtesy of The Free Design and our friends at Light in the Attic Records. You can join us on the internet, hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. If you've got corrections, tweet them at GasStationTV. So if you have any corrections or disputes with us, just tweet those at GasStationTV and we'll be sure that they see them, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also join us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com, the only corner of Reddit where everyone is almost always pleasant and nice. Right?
That's true.
There might be a couple
That's
other subreddits.
That's been my experience. Awe.
Probably
people
like...
People are probably being pretty nice on Awe.
Hansen.reddit.com is probably... They're sure, probably pretty probably. Nice.
Or Hansen's.
Hansen's.com
to discuss natural sodas.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
nice.
Being a dick or a
the
subject, chemtrail guy on
the,
there.
The subject line just says, cane sugar... And then the body of the post just says, no tangy aftertaste, a clean sweetness.
Mm-hmm. And then Mandarin appreciation thread where everybody posts how much they love Mandarin.
Yeah. Anybody having a company picnic this year? ?
Sure.
I feel like Hansen's is the...
Throw a little vodka in that what was I calling it?
Mandarin?
Mandarin. I almost said maraschino.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Hansen's. No idea for a flavor.
Maraschino.
Yeah. Anyway.
Matt Ricardo, it's been a joy to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.